Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Any player, again, of substance or that would matter, who would come off another team's NHL roster and could help the Montreal Canadiens, the asking price would include a player like that. You know, it would either include a young NHL roster player or a prospect like this, and then your collection of draft.
The question is, who is Darren Dreger talking about? With Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt this morning on TSN 690's Morning Show. Welcome back. It's hour number three, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. The roads are in better shape now than they were 8, 9, 10 hours ago as part of the morning rush hour, but still, please be careful out there. Dave Trentadue is here. Mitch Gallo is at the Bell Center. I mentioned earlier that Campbell will be back with the hosting duties for Canadiens hockey after the All-Star break. I meant at the Bell Center. Of course, Thursday night he'll be here as per usual. Darren Dreger talking about Mikhail Sergachev, if he couldn't figure it out, and a lot of talk about the Canadiens. A lot of talk. I don't know how much of it is real where it counts, but a lot of talk out there about the Canadiens making a decision perhaps to deal their top prospect in order to bring in an impact forward, specifically a centerman. We'll pick up on that and much more.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We got hit today with ice and snow, and there's a lot of slipping and sliding all over the place today. But other than that, no complaints. Both teams didn't skate. I'm sure the players were really angry about that.
Calgary didn't need to skate. They should save it for tonight. They were just okay last night. Not very good in Toronto. Montreal, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, there should be some extra jump tonight, don't you think?
I do. You're going to get an angry Calgary team. At least they better be angry. And I got to expect Montreal's going to have a little pop in their step for sure.
Ray Ferraro just joined us. He's in Ottawa for the Senators and Capitals game. And as you know, he was between the benches last night. And he said Calgary had that kind of like faraway look in their eyes. There's just absolutely no emotion on the bench last night.
Well, there was no emotion after Leo Komarov hit Johnny Gaudreau. And that's got to be concerning. You know, I talked about that on Ottawa radio this morning. That's got to be concerning because that's not the kind of team and the kind of ship Brian Burke likes to run. And I think that they probably either heard about it from their coach or heard about it from their manager or maybe even heard about it from Brian. Now, the one thing I will say, and this is just for the Burke family, thoughts and prayers go out to Brian and his family. His father passed away over the weekend down in Vero Beach, Florida. So I don't even know if Brian's with the team or not. But I'm thinking if Brian's there listening, we're thinking of everybody in hockey's thinking of you.
So you were talking about lack of response by the Flames. Well, they did respond, yeah, kind of, but the game was over by the time they did anything, right?
Yeah, but it speaks to what Ray was talking about. This was a team that was devoid of intensity last night.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna pick up on that in a second, but let me ask you about, do you think the Montreal Canadiens, in their effort to secure a big name producing centerman or forward, should deal Mikhail Sergachev?
What I need to ask you is, so I can answer the question properly, give me an example of the player that you're speaking of, and
well,
then I'll tell you.
Well, a lot of people are throwing out Matt Duchene.
No. I would not do that.
He's not. He's a really good player, but he's not good enough to give up that kind of prospect.
No. Here's what you, if you're a fan, and Mark Bergevin has not, he knows. Evaluate the Canadiens' defense and look at the age of the defense and look at the prospects that you potentially have coming. And you don't have anybody as good as him, and you're getting old back there. You're getting old back there. I know Shea Weber's had a great year. He was 18 years old in 2003. I'm just telling you,
yeah.
Pay attention to birth dates. It matters when you're team building. And you'd make what? Do I need to remind you of
No, Ryan I know. I always go, hold on, stop. Don't go there. Don't even go there. Saw a whole thing on him on NBC, and they spared me. They spared me the pain of not talking about his Montreal years.
You know who spared you the pain?
You did.
Correct.
You did. Okay, let me. If you weren't watching the Rangers and Red Wings on NBC over the weekend on Sunday, it began a trilogy of dull major sports events on television ahead of the two conference championship games. But there was a piece on Ryan McDonagh and his background, and I was waiting for the Canadian segment, and it didn't appear. So what'd you do? Tell them?
No, we're past that.
Okay. Well, not quite.
Well, no, because Mark Bergevin didn't make that deal.
Okay, you know, fair enough.
Coaching staff didn't make that deal. Fair Jeff Molson didn't make the deal, so we're past it.
Okay. I'm with you here. If you are thinking, and I guess that's the same question they were throwing around in Boston when we mentioned the possibility.
Brandon Carlo?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, it doesn't make sense. If you could trade a kid like that, but you need to have a better player than Matt Duchene if you're going to think about it, right?
Much better player. Much better. And it's not that Matt's a bad player. He's not. But he's a complementary player.
Right.
That's what he is. He's a high-end complementary player. That's what he is.
How does a GM go about determining whether the best time to make a deal is prior to the trade deadline, or it would be better for that team to wait until prior to the draft in June, which has kind of become like a second trade deadline? And I understand if you're a team that wants to win the cup right now, obviously that's going to make your decision. But for someone who's not in that position, how do you determine when the best time would be?
How realistic is it for you to win rounds in the playoffs with the team that you have? Or can somebody that you add will help make your ownership group and your fans a lot more happy because you're going to go deeper into the playoffs? But you have to be honest. This is one of the biggest problems that I've found in this NHL. There are a lot of teams, because it's hard to find jobs in this league now, there are a lot of teams that hire people, and there are a lot of people that just say yes, yes, yes all the time, and nobody wants to be the stick in the mud to say no. Don't do that. Or no, our team's not that good. Or no, we don't have a deep prospect pool. I hear about it all the time. Why do you think I get a lot of calls from different people? Because they want to know I don't have any skin in the game. I'm going to tell them the truth. They may like it, they may not. Too bad. That's the way it is. But what I'm finding in the league today, there are not a lot of sticks in the mud. There are not a lot of guys that are prepared to tell their GM, you know what, boss? We're not that deep with our prospect pool. We better be careful here. Or they'll say, you know what, boss? I don't agree with you. I think if we go out and get Mitch Melnick, we got a chance to win two rounds in the playoffs. We're better than you think. But there are not a lot of guys like that out there, and that's part of the problem in this league right now.
With Pierre McGuire every day at 5:05 on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Prior to the Habs and Flames, Carey Price and Chad Johnson, the goaltenders. Rod Francis, as you heard us here, and Mitch Gallo at the Bell Center. Mitch.
Pierre, what happens if you're interested and you're kind of warm on a player like Matt Duchene, and then you see one of your direct competitors also really likes the player? Let's say it's Ottawa. And you look at Ottawa and you say, wow, if they get Duchene and we don't, they're all of a sudden going to jump up a couple spots in our mind. How do you play out when you're competing with a team in your division for a specific player?
It's the oldest trick in the book. It's what teams do to drive market value. They leak to the media. Where do you think all those Sunday notes columns come from? pro scouts or assistant GMs that leak, or agents that are asked to leak to maybe get their client into a better place.
Oh, wait a minute. Did Jonathan Drouin last year?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm saying it. And Alan Walsh does this show, and I'll say it.
Alan Walsh is a very – if you have somebody that's a player, Alan Walsh is a great speaker on behalf of his clients.
100%.
So he is really good at it. I'm telling you. But anyways, getting back to where we were, Mitch Gallo, it's the oldest trick in the book. I worked for a man that was the expert of it, Brian Burke. He was the king of creating marketplace for players. And I would sit in his office, and he'd sit there and he'd go, watch this. And he'd call up a GM and say, listen, I'm about to trade Paul Holmgren, and I'm going to ask for three things. So he'd call this guy up and he'd say, I got two offers on Holmgren, one in your division and one in your conference. Here's what they're prepared to offer me. Can you beat it? Because if you can't, I'm making the deal tomorrow. Well, that's what he used to do. It's the oldest trick in the book, and it works.
Leaks. This business would not exist without leaks.
Well, it depends who's leaking, and it depends who's trustworthy, and it also depends on how smart you are in terms of how you pursue things.
Well, I want to follow up on a conversation because I don't know if you're surprised that Claude Julien is still the coach of the Boston Bruins, but there's still this feeling out there that is there's tension between the coach of the Bruins and the front office and the ownership and I got to thinking, you know, and I know he's been there 10 years, but I was thinking about where we are today in professional sports and the whole professional sports business. This is the toughest time of all time to coach, not just in the NHL, but anywhere, and especially in a market like Boston or Montreal, specifically Montreal. This is the toughest time. There was not social media. There was not everybody weighing in with an opinion. There was not blogging. There was not 24/7 sports and television endlessly speculating about your future. This is tough. They get well compensated, but it's tough, and I think maybe some people lose sight of the humanity of it.
Oh, save the tape, Rod. That was brilliant. Really, so fair, so right on. You forgot one little piece of info. Coaching millennials. Coaching millennials is completely and utterly different. And if you don't have a life coach around your coaching staff that can educate millennials in terms of how they have to act and how they have to behave and the work habits that they have to have and what they need to do away from the rink and how little social media they should be doing, it is a complete, the millennial thing is completely different. And I told you that last year with the PK Subban situation. They didn't know how to work with millennials. They didn't. It's just the way it is.
Well, and yeah, it's not just the coaches and players, right? It's parents and kids. Yeah.
It's life. It's the way it is. But that's why I said you need to have, and I've thought about this a lot when I draw up different plans of potentially going back or not going back. One of the things I've seen that I think is really not part of teams it needs to be, you need to have a life coach. You need to have a life coach that's around your team all the time, preferably a guy that's been in hockey, whether he's a former principal at a school or a high-end educator, or somebody that's been a coach and an educator, but knows life skills, that's a little bit older, almost like a grandfather type, that can be around your team and help educate guys. Be the guy where the players know they can go to this person without having to deal with the coach. But then this life coach can set the young player up for more success by teaching him about different things in life that are going to happen.
In my opinion, best goalie in the NHL. They have a good team, but he's the backbone of that team for sure. And I think for us, is we've had some pretty good chances lately. Feels like we're not getting the bounce or the luck, but it's a process. You got to stick with it. When things are hard, you just got to keep doing the right thing.
There is Alex Chiasson of the Calgary Flames on facing Carey Price and the Canadiens tonight. Again, it'll be Chad Johnson for Calgary. We touched on the Flames a little bit yesterday, Pierre. Let's go a little more in-depth in a couple of minutes here. Goaltending obviously has been a factor, especially Brian Elliott has just not played well from day one for the most part for Calgary. And that runs through an entire team. But what else is ailing them?
Inconsistent offense, injury to Johnny Gaudreau early in the year. That affected Monahan. Sammy Bennett has not really been able to get up and get going to the level they were expecting him to get to. Giordano's been hit or miss, and I really like Mark a lot. But people have to remember, Mark's not a kid either, and here's a player that was undrafted coming out of Owen Sound, and he's had a grossly overachieved to survive in the league. So you wonder, how long do the wheels last? So that's been a bit of an issue. And he's not the only one on the back end. Dougie Hamilton's been hot and cold, even though I'm really bullish on Dougie. I think Dougie Hamilton's got a chance to have a really, really good career. But the biggest thing that I see when I watch them play, it's up and down. It's never consistent. You don't know what you're getting from shift to shift. And I think a part of that is because of the disjointed lineup they've had for relatively good portions of the year. But the number one point, you nailed it. Goaltending hasn't been good enough.
They've given up the first goal of the game 8 straight games coming into tonight. I mean, that's a significant trend. It tells you they're not getting off to strong starts, and it's costing them.
Well, that's where you have to evaluate, though, what's going on in your dressing room before the game. You have to evaluate what's going on with your team the night before the game. Now, in this case, they flew in from Toronto. But when you're falling behind quickly, there's something wrong. And sometimes it's goaltending, sometimes a bad game plan, sometimes a bad matchup, sometimes a bad call. But if it keeps happening, it's more than all those things. There's something else.
Mitch Gallo at the Bell Center with Pierre McGuire.
Pierre, why do you think Brian Burke teams tend to figure out the goaltending position last and compared to other teams that do it the other way around? Like, historically...
I don't know. Yeah. You know what? That's a great question, too, Mitch Gallo. In Vancouver, they were good enough to win the Stanley Cup when he was there. The problem was, is they weren't good enough in goal. You know, everybody will remember the Nick Lidstrom shot from center ice against Danny Cloutier. And that basically sunk them and propelled Detroit into some, you know, pretty miraculous Stanley Cup runs. Brian figured out goaltending, obviously, with Jaguar in Anaheim in 07. Now, he inherited good portions of that team, but he didn't inherit Scotty Niedermeyer and he didn't inherit Chris Pronger. He went and got those guys. But, you know, and they were key components. But, no, Brian's a good manager. Brian really understands talent. And you know what I like about Brian? His teams, more times than not, have a pretty significant footprint on a game, and that is they're going to be rough, they're going to be physical, and they're going to be fast. I like that about Brian and what he does with his group. Now, we didn't always get along either, Mitch, as you know, Melnick.
Yep.
But now we do. We do. I mean, there were 10 years we didn't talk. You know, I was mad at him, and he was mad at me. And we finally got together and sorted it all out. It was good.
10 years. That's a long time. It's too long.
Yeah, well, If we would have talked, it wouldn't have ended well. Three to one of us. It would have been bad.
Last night, some fans, or maybe a lot of fans, may have missed this.
Taken by Weir, caution. Into the neutral zone, trying to find a Gillen, but Jerome was changing himself. Fired ahead. Watch out, Marlow has a baby breakaway. Backhand shot, and he scores. Patrick Marlow.
Patrick Marlow with a natural hat trick in the third period, and then he scored a fourth goal in the third period, and he had a minor penalty last night in their win over Colorado.
How about poor Spencer Martin, the goalie? His second game in the NHL. He's like, really? This is no fair. Good for Patty. I mean, he scored a lot of different ways. Off the rush, off a wraparound, off a nifty feed from Joe Pavelski. He scored a lot of different ways. You know, the quick snapshot, that should have been stopped by Spencer Martin. But no, hey, listen, good for Patrick. You think back. Thornton was number one in that draft, and Marlow was number two, and now they've been running together for a long time, and they've been fun to watch. They've been fun to watch.
And you talked about how much trouble the Kings were in prior to their game last night. They controlled a lot of play down low. Henrik Lundqvist was back in old-fashioned Henrik Lundqvist form, but the Kings have now lost 4 straight.
Yeah, no, they're in trouble. Now, I will say this. They deserved a better fate last night. You just nailed it. They played Daryl Sutter hockey last night. Win the races, win the board battles, win the slot area battles. He did all those things, but they weren't able to get by Hank. And then, you know, you see JT Miller on that setup to Zuccarello. That was something else. The Rangers have a feel for themselves right now, and they're getting this done, by the way, without Mark Stahl. And I was talking to Mark over the weekend in Detroit, and he's pretty close to coming back. And I know they're excited about getting him back, so that's going to help their team a lot. But the Kings are in trouble. There's no question they're in trouble.
All right. For the Habs, their last home game before the All-Star break, it's the slumping Calgary Flames. What would you look for early on tonight?
Well, I would expect Calgary's going to be a little bit nasty just because they'll be mad. They didn't play well last night. They were disinterested. And I would think that they probably got a pretty good talking to today. I don't know who it would have been from, whether it was from the GM or the president or maybe the coach. But I've got to believe they got a little bit of a talking to. And Montreal, should, as we talked about off the top, they should have a lot of pop in their step. They should. They should be anxious to put on a show at home for their fans before the break here.
Pierre McGuire every day at 5:05. Enjoy the games tonight, Pierre. Thank you. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Mitch, thanks a lot. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe on those roads.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.